I want to draw your attention tonight to the Gospel of John, and we come into the chapter 15 now tonight, and I draw your attention to the first verse, which is our text. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Christ, the true vine. Here we have another one of these I am statements that you well know, of course, are very frequent in John's Gospel. And in this one he says that I am the vine. Now we might well ask, what has brought on this allusion to the vine? Why would a vine suddenly enter into the mind of our Lord? And why would he bring it to the attention of his people? It could conceivably be the wine that is on the table. You will know that it was the night of the Last Supper and in the upper room. And they drank of the cup and the Lord said, "This is my blood." So it could be the wine on the table that brings the allusion to the mind of the Lord and thus he to his people. But possibly it also could be that they are passing through some vine trees on the way to Gethsemane. You will notice at the end of chapter 14 that the Lord says, "Arise, arise, let us go thence." Now there is a school of thought that says they did not go out immediately. There is a school of thought that says they lingered on still in the upper room and he gave the remaining discourse, 15 through to 17. But there is another school of thought that says he did leave and that they arose and they did go out thence, out through the door, down the stairs and out through the door, through the streets of Jerusalem, making their way down to the Kidron Valley. And that chapters 15 through to 17 are part of the discourse along that journey. They may have paused here and there and yonder before they crossed over the brook Kidron, which we read that they did in chapter 18. So it may be that this is outside the doors. It may be that they have paused at a number of vine trees, perhaps growing in a private home. And that there they stand, and the Lord Jesus says, as they look at the vine tree, he says, "I am the true vine." It's spring in Israel. We know it's Passover time, so therefore it's spring in Israel. There are two seasons of the year in Israel to prune. The Lord will go on to talk about pruning the vine tree. There are two seasons in Israel when the pruning takes place. There is the pruning after the harvest, and that is not until later on in the year. But there's also a pruning in the spring as the clusters are beginning to form. And that's the season in which the Lord brings forth this allusion and which he'll go in to speak about in the chapter as we progress. "I am the vine," he says. But what I find particularly interesting and what I want to draw your attention to most of all tonight is the fact that the Lord uses the word "true." He says, he doesn't just say, "I am the vine." He has to add the word "true." He has to say, "I am the true vine." And we have to ask why. Why does he say that? You know, whenever you study God's word and you want to go into it deeply, you have to study every word. And you have to ask every word, "Why are you there? Why are you there?" And here's a word, "true." And I want to ask, why are you there? Why does the Lord have to bring you in? Why can he not just say, "I'm the vine"? It can all make sense if he still says, "I am the vine." But he has to say, "I'm the true vine." The true vine. And so we have to ask, why is it there? And the word "true" is very important. And it opens up new avenues of thought that the Lord didn't expound on that night. This is a word that occurs often in John's Gospel, this word true. Nearly always in this similar context. Remember whenever it says about John the Baptist, in that context of John the Baptist, and then speaking about the Lord Jesus, that John says, the Lord Jesus, he was the true light. He's the true light. John the Baptist was a light, but the Lord Jesus was a true light. That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then you'll remember how the Lord Jesus said, the hour's coming, and it even now is, it's begun. The hour's coming, and it now is, when the true worshippers shall worship God, the Father, in spirit and in truth. And then you remember on another occasion, whenever they were talking about the manna, and the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, manna, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But he says, my Father giveth you the true bread. The true bread. He's not only the bread from heaven, he's the true bread. He's not only the light, he's the true light. And he's not only the vine, he's the true vine. He's the true vine. That's a very important word in John's Gospel. You see, the word true implies that there are other kinds. Similar kinds, but not necessarily false kinds. He's not comparing himself here to a false vine when he says this. There is a true light. And John the Baptist was a light. And the church is a light. And every Christian is a light. But the Lord Jesus is a true light. He's a true light. You see, there's a typical light. There's a shadow light. There's a secondary light. But the Lord Jesus is a true light. He's a first light. He's a main light. In a sense, he's the only light. And we get all our light from him. And whenever he talks about the true worshippers, there's the typical worshippers. There's the worshippers who are worshipping God under shadows. Worshipping God in the tabernacle and in the temple. Worshipping God through the ceremonial ritual of the Old Testament law. But he says the hour's coming when the true worshippers, the worship him in spirit and in truth, the real worshippers, the worshippers who don't have any more shadows now to deal with, but they're in the reality and the substance, the true worshippers. And then that bread that come down from heaven, it was real bread and they could eat it, but it was just typical bread, it was typological bread. It pictured Christ. And Christ said, I'm the true bread. I'm the true bread. I'm not a type, I'm not a shadow, I'm not a picture. I'm the reality, I'm the bread, I'm the true bread. And the true vine implies there's another vine, a type vine, a shadow vine, a vine that pictures Christ, a vine that is like Christ. And so he's alluding to something when he says, I'm the true vine. Just when he says, I'm the true bread, he's alluding to the shadow bread. And when he says the true worshippers, he's alluding to the shadow worshippers in the Old Testament. And when he talks about the true light, he's alluding to the typical light. And when he talks about the true vine, he's alluding to something else. And what he's alluding to is Israel. Israel. Because Israel was a vine. It was a vine. You read that all the time in the Old Testament. That imagery is frequent of Israel being a vine. You remember how the psalm says, Psalm 80, the psalmist said, thou hast brought a vine. You brought a vine out of Egypt, and you planted it. You cast out the heathen, and you planted the vine in the land of Israel. You brought it out and you planted it. And then we read Isaiah chapter 5 about the song of the well-beloved touching his vineyard. And he fenced it and he gathered out stones and he planted it with the choicest vine. That's Israel. He had the tar and he had the hedge and the walls and he had all the workers and he had the wine press and he had everything in place and he planted Israel in the land. He did everything for Israel. And it brought forth wild grapes. It was a vine. Remember how the prophet Jeremiah said, speaking in the name of God, I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Israel was the vine. It should have been fruitful. It should have borne its fruit to the nations. It should have spread its branches to the end of the earth. That's what it should have done. But it didn't. It failed. It failed. Remember how Hosea the prophet said, Israel, coming near to the end of the Old Testament, Israel is an empty vine. So it is. And I tell you this, it's still empty today. But I'm not concerned about Israel. I'm concerned about the true vine. The true Israel. The real Israel. The Israel who doesn't fail. And that's not that nation in Palestine, I can tell you. That is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. So Israel is the vine planted in the land. It's the type. But the Lord Jesus is the reality. Israel fails, but Jesus doesn't fail. Israel's an empty vine, but Jesus is a full vine. And this nation of Israel, what's it going to do? You know what it's going to do? It's going to cut off Jesus. It's going to cut off Jesus. The husbandmen are going to come. The husbandmen of the vineyard. The husbandmen of Israel. They're going to come. And they're going to take Christ. And they're going to cut him off. And they're going to cast him outside the vineyard. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do that. And the Lord Jesus said they would do that. When the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come and let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. Let us get the whole vineyard ourselves and let's cast him out and slay him. And that's what they've done. They've took the vine and they cut him down and they cast him out and they thought they had it all to themselves. But this cast out Jesus, you know what he says? No matter about the vineyard, you know what he says? I'm the true vine. They're about to cut off and cast out the true vine out of the vineyard. They're going to cast out. That's what Jesus means when he says, I'm the true vineyard, true vine. The high priest is going to say he's worthy of death. Cut him off. Cut him off. We'll have the whole vineyard to ourselves. No, you won't. When you cut off Jesus, you cut off the vine. And so that's why Jesus says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. And that's why he says, the men of Israel are not my husbandmen. He says, my Father is my husbandman. My Father. The husbandmen are on their way. Judas is leading them. They're on their way. They're on the way to take him and to cut him off. But Jesus says, my Father is my husbandman, not the men of Israel. And so Jesus is the true vine. Let me leave some thoughts with you in that regard then. Let me say this, that Jesus was a choice vine. On this earth, in Bethlehem's manger those 2,000 years ago, there was planted in this earth the choicest vine. The branch was brought forth. And his name was Jesus. And he was the choicest vine. The Lord calls Israel that, the choicest vine Israel. But I tell you, there's a far more choicest one than Israel. It's his son Jesus. Remember how the Father said, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He's my beloved. He's my elect. He's my chosen, my choicest vineyard. And I'll put my spirit upon him, and I'll plant him, and I'll join the nations to him, and I'll make him fruitful in all the earth. Remember how Peter said that we're coming onto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Men cut him off from the vineyard and they cast him out. The husbandmen threw him out. He's a rejected stone who was thrown out. But the Bible says he's God's chosen, elect, and precious. He's precious. He's a precious vine, choice vine. I tell you, the father loves his son. He's the husbandman. And he loves his son. You remember how the Lord Jesus says, him hath God the Father sealed. He loves his son. You see, whenever Israel was brought into the center of the world and it was planted there in the midst of what we call Palestine, the land of Palestine or the land of Israel today, why did God bring Israel into that land and plant them in that land? You know why? So that Jesus Christ would be born in the center of the earth. That's why. That's why. So that this choicest vine one day would come forth and he would bear the fruit to the nations. It's not about Israel. It's about Jesus. It's about the true vine. That's what it's about. About Christ. I am the true vine. So the land of Israel is not about the vine Israel. It's about the true vine. The true Israel, Jesus Christ. And the Father, as a husbandman, he's interested in planting Christ. Planting Christ. And he cares for his son. He brought his son out of Egypt. He brought the vine out of Egypt. Out of Egypt have I called my son. You remember Christ came out of Egypt? That's why he came out of Egypt. The true vine's coming out now. That's why he crossed the Jordan. That's why he went through the Jordan into the land. He's a true vine coming now. That's why he spent 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights as typified by Israel in the wilderness. There he is in the wilderness led by the Spirit because he's God's vine. He's God's vine coming, the true vine to be planted. He's God's choicest vine. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he planted him in Israel. And he brought him right up to Jerusalem to die and to shed his blood that will cleanse the nations, to shed his blood in Jerusalem at the winepress of the cross. The true vine. The true vine. And so he's the choicest vine of the Father. And then secondly, he was a vine that fulfilled all the expectations of the Father. He was a vine who fulfilled all that the heavenly husbandman could desire. Oh, God the Father worked with Israel. How God worked with Israel. How he planted Israel. How he built the tower and the wine press. And everything was in place. And he raised up husbandmen, preachers, and all the rest. But it turned into a degenerate plant. It turned into an empty vine. And the Father said, what could I have done more? What could I have done more than I haven't done to my vineyard? And he looked, he came every year and he looked. The Bible says he looked that it might bring forth grapes. Generation after generation, he came to Israel and he looked that it might bring forth grapes, but no grapes. He said, I planted the ennobled vine, he says. How have you turned into a degenerate plant? Israel's an empty vine. He just brings forth unto himself, God says. He just thinks about himself. He's just selfish. Israel's just selfish. And all he thinks about is himself. He's an empty vein. All he has is the fruit of self. That's Israel. And Israel was a disappointment to God. But I tell you this, Jesus was no disappointment. Every day the Father looked at Jesus, a noble vine. A vine living up to expectations. Christ is no disappointment. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. 30 years he's walked the earth. 30 years he's been planted in the land. And here at his baptism, I'm coming to you and I'm saying I'm well pleased with him. And then after 3 years ministry on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father comes again to look at his Son, to look at his vine. And he says, I'm well pleased. Jesus, you're not an empty vine. You're not a degenerate plant. You're not one with strange wild grapes like Israel. No, you are my well-beloved, and I'm pleased. No wild grapes in Jesus' life, I can tell you. As we saw this morning, Satan came. Satan came to see if there were any wild grapes. Satan endeavored to bring forth the wild grapes in Jesus' life. Satan came to work that there might be wild grapes in this true vine. Satan came to make him a strange vine. Satan came to make him an empty vine. Satan came to make him a degenerate vine. But the Lord Jesus says, he's nothing in me. He says, I am the true vine that brings forth fruit unto God, not unto himself. He's not a selfish plant. He's not a selfish vine who's all self, who just thinks about his own feelings. No. Look at him this night. He's going to the cross, and all he thinks about is his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, don't be alarmed, my children, little children. I know I'm leaving you. He's not a selfish plant, bringing off fruit to him. No, no. He's a true vine. Fruit for others. Fruit for his Father. A true vine. Living up to all the expectations of the Father who sent him and planted him. He is the true vine. And then thirdly, he was a vine whose lifeblood was shed for us sinners. He was a vine whose lifeblood was shed for us sinners. He had just used as the symbol of his sacrifice, and which we will use again tonight, the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine. The wine. The wine in its redness pictured the blood. How is the wine obtained? The wine is obtained from the grape, which is the fruit of the vine. And how is the wine obtained from the grape? It has to be cut down and pressed and crushed and bruised and trodden upon and crushed so that the redness and the juice flows out in the wine press of the great weight of the feet of people pressing down on the grape to squeeze out the life juice and to obtain the wine. And Christ is the true vine. And he must go into the winepress. Arise! The darkness is coming. The crushing is pressing down upon me. I can feel the weight of the wrath already coming. Arise! Arise, let us go hence. I'm the true vine. And so the Father brings his dear Son into the winepress. Golgotha. Who is this that comes from Eden? with dyed garments from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why are you covered in blood? Why are your clothes like him who hath trodden in the winepress? Oh, I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. His garments are dipped in blood. He's been in the winepress. He's been in the winepress for us sinners. And so let us go hence. I am the true vine. Let us go down to the winepress. Let us go down to the Gethsemane, the place of the press. Let us go to the cross. To the cross to shed my life blood. For it all had to be squeezed out. It all had to be squeezed out that we might have the joy of salvation. He took the cup. This is my blood. This is my blood shed for you. It has to be squeezed out. I'm the true vine. And so, what does the Bible say about the wine? Wine that maketh glad the heart of man. An oil to make his face shine. And bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The basics of a healthy meal. The wine to cheer us. The oil to brighten us. And the bread to strengthen us. That brings us joy at the meal table. Ah. But what joy is brought to us by Jesus Christ? The wine. The lifeblood squeezed out of his veins. It makes our heart glad. It makes our heart glad. The fruit of this vine squeezed out for us, the righteousness of Jesus, the sacrifice of the cross, it makes our heart glad. It makes glad the heart of man. Makes glad the heart of man. We preach Christ crucified. It makes glad our hearts. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, save in the blood. It makes our hearts glad. It makes our hearts glad. The blood that cleanses us. The blood that buys us. The blood that redeems us. It makes us glad. Our black hearts, it makes it glad. Our sin-stained hearts, when this wine touches our sin-stained hearts, it makes us glad. It makes us glad. Heavy hearts under conviction of sin. When this wine touches it, this wine that we drink tonight, this blood, when this blood touches it, it makes a heavy heart light. It makes a heavy heart glad. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad? Oh, it had to be squeezed out in the press. And so, we're made glad by this vine. Oh, the true vine. And now I want to sit under it. Under this vine. Every man sit under his vine. And God's people sit under only one vine. That's Jesus Christ. Every man sits under his vine. That's Christ. That's Christ. The true vine. Christ is the true vine. You need to be inscribed in Zion. The heavenly Zion. Not Jerusalem. The degenerate plants only there. The Jerusalem above. That's where your name has to be inscribed. The Jerusalem above, where Jesus is. And that brings us on to our last point. He's the true vine, in whom alone salvation is found. You see, sinners need to be a branch joined to him. He goes on to talk about every branch in him. And you need to be joined to him, sinner. He's a reality. He's real. He's a substance. I don't care if you've joined to the church. It doesn't matter if you've joined Israel. You need to be joined to Christ. You need to be linked vitally to him. You need to have union to Jesus in the vineyard of the Father. You need to be a branch of Christ. So he's a true one to bring salvation. Israel, as I said, is just the type. I don't have to repeat all of that. Let's be clear about that. It's not being a descendant of Israel that saves. I love the Jews. And I desire their salvation. And I am not anti-Semitic. But I have to say this, that the unbelieving people in Israel are not God's people. Those in the true vine are God's people. Those in Christ, have the Father. They have the Father as the husbandman. And those in Christ are the Father's children. In the true vine. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you really in Christ? You truly in Christ? Is the Spirit flowing through you? Is there a union? And the life of Jesus is in you, flowing through you, in your union and communion with him. And so, you need to be engrafted into Christ, sinner. You need to be joined to Jesus. You need to have faith in him and believe in him and cling to him. He's the only Savior. And so that's what Jesus means when he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine.